Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 46.
That's right, 46. I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, the number 46 doesn't ring any bells for me. Normally I've got a little pithy sort of throwaway thing to talk about at the beginning about the number, but nope, 46 is kind
of... Well, I think out of the 46 episodes, six of them, we've talked about Twin Peaks.
You might be right. 6 out of 46.
And, yeah.
Well, counting this one, are you saying, Kevin?
Counting this one.
Well, it is an interesting week for Twin Peaks-related news. It's sort of a strange confluence of events we find ourselves in.
Yes, it is, because the other set of news about the biker gang... I was not at all familiar beyond of this case, beyond the fact that it was two biker gangs and nine people had been killed and 170 had been arrested, because that's what the headlines read everywhere.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
So I was not familiar with its connection to Twin Peaks.
Well, yeah, the restaurant that people probably know that it took place at is called Twin Peaks, which I had not heard of before, except, of course, you know, related to the David Lynch show, which was right. Also in the news this week, strangely enough.
Yes, double Twin Peaks news, completely different, I would say, meanings, really, behind Twin Peaks. I do not think that... Mr. Lynch was being as crass as the restaurant chain that I am glad had a corporate office in Dallas, Texas.
Makes sense, right?
And
they were revoked. The franchisee license was revoked for this place because apparently they knew ahead of time that these biker gangs were using, you know, were meeting up at this location. And the police were trying to, you know, tell them that they couldn't continue to do this. And they had to, like, stop having these biker gatherings. But,
Yeah, that was one thing. Again, since I wasn't familiar with this, it's just like, I mean, I know that some bars can be uncooperative. But this seemed like a no-brainer. Like, if someone's telling you a big fight is going to happen at your place, like, I don't care if it's a restaurant, a school, whatever. Like, the post office, for Pete's sakes, I guess would be an example. Like, if you got a warning that you could prevent a fight, it's just like... Don't you take it? Like, I understand wanting to make money, but that just seems like you're being negligent in every way. Like, you're putting yourself on the line for no good reason, really.
Yeah, I have to think that they just didn't understand, like, how serious the risk was, apparently. At least that's the way I would, you know, hope that they were, you know, looking at it.
Their risk assessment was not good.
Yeah, they might have been like, you know, these cops are... They just don't understand. These guys are just free spirits or whatever, you know. Like, they're not going to actually, you know, come to fighting or bloodshed, you know. They just like... They're motorcycle enthusiasts, you know.
Yeah, I can't figure out the rationale, to be completely honest with you.
Well, I think that one of the law enforcement sources said something like that I think he was actually someone who went undercover in one of these gangs for the police. But he said that people think that they're kind of, there's this romantic image attached to them. But in reality, they're actually like, you know, meth dealers and like murderers, you know.
Well, yeah, these ones in question, because that was the other thing the article did kind of make clear, because they were saying these biker gangs, and then it's just like, No, these drug dealing criminal biker gangs.
Right.
You know, inferring that, hey, not all bikers.
The OMGs, as the government officially classifies them. Outlaw motorcycle gang. OMG. Becky, look at their bikes. Oh, that's good stuff. All right.
Oh, man.
That was not written, people. We just came up with that on the fly.
Oh, our freestyling, yo. It's at a peak.
That's true. But, yeah. So, this sounds like basically a battle that took place. Like, a real... I mean, I don't know what else to say.
It was a shootout. Like, it was...
Wild West style? Although, I don't even know if I've ever heard anything like this in the Wild West. Have you? It doesn't sound like... familiar to me.
The shootouts in the Wild West, at least the ones that I feel like are depicted, are not as large as 107. Well, okay, with 9 people dead, 180 people roughly involved in this shootout.
You're assuming that they didn't arrest the dead people?
No, I'm assuming,
or
yeah.
Their leftover bodies.
Right, or their corpses. They probably took them to the coroner's office. I would imagine they have a nice little residence there.
That's a form of arrest, I guess. Like, they're not sending them home, so it depends how you look at it. I'm not sure is what I'm saying, what the official count includes, but...
well, yeah, but 190 arrested, 9 dead, at least the article that...
well, I think 170 arrested.
That's what I just said.
Oh, it sounded like you said 190, but...
170 plus 9.
I know our listeners come in... And,
for numerical accuracy.
Yes.
Damn it. They demand it.
And they deserve it.
So there were 180 people there.
Roughly.
Roughly.
Depending on how the count breaks out.
And,
plus the police were there.
Yeah, but anyway, I just don't feel like the OK Corral or anything like that involved quite that many people.
No.
Yeah, and they were not counting the number of police involved in this shootout. And they said that the police may have killed some of the people.
Oh, yeah.
Like and honestly, beyond the article that you sent me, which was mostly about the restaurant, Twin Peaks. And less about the actual investigation.
Right. Yeah. So I thought that was the more interesting way to get into the story, I guess.
Just yeah. Well, and I'm just admitting that I'm a little sketchy on, you know, how many police were there or when they got there or anything of that nature.
Well, yeah, apparently they were there, like in the area, like surrounding the location, it sounded like. So to me, like, that has to, you know, I don't know, that does, I guess, remind me of an Old West situation, like where you got the sheriff's got his posse, you know, out there. But
well, yeah, and I mean, if it's that crazy of a thing too, like, I again, like, to go back to, I don't know, understand what the owner was thinking.
Right.
If the police are that sure that something's going down, that they have their posse waiting around the area.
Yeah.
That is, you know, I guess I just don't feel like you can confirm the situation any more than that.
Yeah. Obviously they think something's going on, but you know, I guess, like I said, they would have to really have been, you know, downplaying the risk in their head, you know. But I was just going to say, like, do you think that the police presence, like, could have raised the tensions in any way of the situation?
Well, I suppose it's a possibility. Again, I have read so little about this that... but I guess it's kind of weird that the police couldn't do anything before this to prevent it themselves. Like, I know that they were blaming the store owner for not being helpful.
Well, I think we do have, several amendments that might deal with the police not being, able to kind of stop in and just shut things down for before something happens, right? Does that make
sense? Yeah. But, I mean, if they think that the store could have diffused the situation...
Yeah. I think they could have...
It's kind of weird something in advance. Arrested one of the guys or something like that.
But he has to have committed a crime.
Well, that's what they needed to do.
You're advocating some kind of a minority report situation. Well,
it's not a minority report situation.
Did you ever
see
that movie?
No.
Okay, but
they were predicting the crimes before they happened.
That's right.
Yeah. And they were arresting the people.
Good old Philip K. Dick was the original author there.
Yes, a very good author.
Mm-hmm.
No, if they're a known criminal activity or a criminal gang, if you know that they're criminal, you haven't. How do you know they're not criminal without having caught them doing something already? I guess. Do you just go, no, they're the friendly ones?
Okay. Well, maybe they got caught in the past and, they went to jail and they came out. You can't arrest them for something that they did whenever,
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there was a component somewhere in there. And I'm not saying that they could have done it, I guess. But maybe someone in the food chain to help quell down everything could have been pulled out. Had they actually committed a crime. I'm not advocating making up a crime, I suppose, is my deal here. They're known as criminals, so catch them in a criminal act to help diffuse the situation before it gets into... because it's two biker gangs that are both on the criminal side. You're telling me that you couldn't find anything on anyone to help diffuse this situation, I guess.
So if they got into the food chain, they could see what was like it. It's a lot. I think it's a lot of resources, like just to follow someone around 24 hours a day, hoping to catch them do something illegal. Right. I mean,
you're completely convinced that there's going to be this gigantic shootout, evidently.
Well, yeah, and that's just like...
So, again, like, I guess to me, like, if you think that there's going to be this gigantic shootout, like, they haven't done anything bad in between then and when you've... Because they said that they were working with the store for a couple of weeks, I believe. And that they had told them some time frame in advance.
Well, I mean, from what I read, they also said that... It seemed like there was an argument that kind of started things. Like, it wasn't necessarily that,
Yeah, in the last few months.
Right. So, like, I mean, had there been other incidents there? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe this was the first thing to happen? I don't know.
I guess that's pretty crazy. Maybe it is the first thing that happened, but if that's the first thing that happened, as they say in Anchorman, things jumped up a notch.
Oh, man, you're right. That would be like a real-life Anchorman battle there. Except, people...
actually died, and no one used the trident.
It was a lot less funny, I would think, yeah. to be there at the time, but we can imagine it.
Yeah, I do not want to be involved in a approximately 179-person gun battle.
No, and presumably...
Not counting the police.
Presumably, there would be some of the people there that were not involved in the situation, and that would just be, like, freaking crazy.
Just trying to fit 170 people into prison is kind of crazy.
Right. Well, they ended up... Actually, I read... They ended up taking them to a convention center that... overnight, rather than, like, overwhelm the jail... Which I thought was kind of funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Again, my ignorance of not having really read anything about this.
Yeah.
That's hilarious that they took him to a convention center. I mean, it makes sense. You can box them in. There are pretty limited exits.
Yeah, I guess so.
You can keep an eye on everyone pretty easily because there's usually no obstructions.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you could just have like everybody in a big room, really, like handcuffed somehow.
Right.
I mean, that'd be a shitty way to spend the night, but I mean, I wonder what they did do. That would be an interesting story there too, really. Like, who comes up with that idea and then it's like, let me call Bill down at the convention center.
And, I've got a connection with the guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it would have to be, I think. Like, I don't know if you could be like cold calling the convention center and being like, oh, you know what? We were just wondering. Would you be okay with us keeping 170, outlaw biker gang members who were charging with murder overnight at your place? Is that cool?
We're good?
just one night.
We'll give you a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, we got a convention. We got a dentist convention coming in. Well, we'll just, we'll keep them in this room. It'll be fine.
The dentist can charge the biker gangs for free dental work.
Right. This will be great. You know,
the dentist get business. The biker gang gets their teeth checked. You know, maybe they don't have health insurance.
Sure.
They are an outlaw biker gang. Maybe they need a checkup.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win now that you've explained it to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes perfect sense.
Yep.
So, the other Twin Peaks related news, I guess. The TV show has been, well, I guess it was already renewed, but David Lynch has confirmed he's coming back, and they're going to do more episodes, I saw.
Yes, that probably was the bigger news in my opinion, because I did like we've been reading from the same source, and it's Geek News on Paste Magazine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they have been following the story within the story of Twin Peaks.
Yes.
And we have followed along with them.
Yes.
And we
were there when we heard that the show was coming back.
Yeah,
we were with you, our listeners. We were there when we got the bad news that David Lynch said he was out of the project.
But even tried to justify getting another director, I believe, or at least I did.
Right.
Before changing my mind.
And, you know, I ended up sided on the side that, you know, he needs to come back. So I'm glad he came around to my way of thinking.
I was not surprised. Well, actually,
I assume he listened to the show.
One thing that I was not surprised by in the article is that David Lynch was kind of hoping that people would go a little bananas on Showtime executives on the old Soch Me. as the cool kids like to call it now.
The Soch Me, that's a good one.
Yeah, the Soch Me. Indeed, there was a little bit of pressure on the Soch Me put on the Showtime executives, and they decided to, put a few extra shekels in everyone's pockets.
And I think that probably showed that people care about the show. To Showtime.
Right, and the people will try to get their programming because they're bringing in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I still have yet to fold on any extra network, be it HBO or Showtime, though there are a number of very good shows on those networks.
Well, yeah, they have the... By the way, our sponsor this week, of course, is home box office, they are the best of the box office that you can have at your house, I think.
People forget, yes.
That's what HBO stands for.
So I don't think they forget.
Well, no.
I think that HBO forgets that they are supposed to show movies sometimes.
Well, you kind of stepped right there in the middle of my pitch, Kevin.
Oh. Well,
I'm sorry. I wasn't done with my ad.
You shouldn't pause.
I was letting it sink in.
Oh.
Yeah. So they now have HBO Now. Yeah, that's what it's called. Whereas they used to have HBO Go, where you would, you know, if you had the cable subscription, you could watch it on your computer or, you know, iPad or what have you.
Oh, gotcha.
But this is that you can do the same thing, but you don't have to have a subscription. So it's like you pay $15 a month. You don't have to have cable. You can just get the HBO shows.
Oh.
So we actually signed up for that. They did like a comp, 1 month free when they were starting out. So we got that and then stayed with it for a month.
1 month free. Yeah, we love that around Stunt Granny headquarters. The WWE Network has now been free for 3 months out of this year. It was February, April, and May.
So that's like half the year, basically?
So far, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't really get to me because I do watch a lot of programming on there. So I do not feel ripped off for the $10 that Stunt Granny is paying for it. At some point, doesn't the consumer get a little pissed that you're giving away free months this often? Like HBO, like I'm guessing that you can't sign back up for another free month, like the month after.
Right. Yeah. Is that what you could do with the WWE?
Yeah, you could just drop it if you wanted to.
Oh. So it's like you're paying for nothing then.
Yeah. You might have to put in a different email or something, but who can't make up a valid email?
That's a good question, Kevin. I mean, that's not really... You don't have to use your social media identity. I mean, that would be different, right?
Well, some people have multiple social media personas.
Oof, those people.
Yes.
Don't get me started.
There are those people.
Kevin, have you ever heard the expression that... it's a rat race out there, or it's a rat world.
I was sitting here noticing that you were readying yourself for a segue.
Sure.
And I was trying to figure out how you would transition, and about as poorly as can be imagined, really, because we were not anywhere near talking about... these types of topics.
Well, listen, I did what I could, you know, and I think the question still stands. Have you ever heard of those expressions, Kevin?
Yes, I have heard that it's a rat race out there.
Sure.
Honestly, anytime I see anything with rats, I do think about my ex-wife, and not because she's a rat, because she wasn't. She was just a whore. She did not like to she did not want to feed rats to our snake because they were too intelligent, and the intelligence was part of the equation in this article that you sent to me, article/video.
Right. So this was a experiment that they did with rats. And, you know, I guess we were saying rats have sort of a reputation for being undesirable and sort of out for themselves, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely has a bad connotation to it.
Like
obviously,
if somebody says that you're a rat, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, in the gang parlance,
you dirty rat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually accompanied with dirty. It's just not rat.
Throw in a dirty rat. Yeah.
Yeah. And New York City, always hear about the rats as big as cats. So that always inferred to me, rats, bad.
Rats, bad. Yes, well put.
But in this case, rats were being not just good, but possibly altruistic.
Downright saintly rats, you know? We're going to have to, this is going to make people rethink rats, I think. Because
we are going to lead the rat revolution, Ken.
Yeah. Well, a couple things here. Well, we should describe the study, I guess. They had these little tubes that they were able to stick rats in, I guess, that were kind of tight for them. And they were sort of couldn't get themselves out very easily.
Right, yeah. I believe that though they did not clearly say that there was only a release from the outside. But it certainly did seem like that was the case, that there was only a release to this little tube from the outside.
Yeah, it didn't. It sounded like it was unpleasant for a rat to be in this thing.
Right. And what they did is they put two cubicle mate rats together. They put one in the tube and the other in another part of the maze. And
so these were rats that knew each other?
Yes, they were rats that knew each other.
Okay. And they found that I guess they started out with putting one rat in this tube and leaving the other one outside the tube in the same room, if you will. They would learn how to, like, I guess there's a latch or something that they could open to let the rat come out.
Right, yeah, and in the accompanying video, it shows, like, because it cracked me up in the video that it was two white rats that they were using, so to distinguish between the two, they put, like, a little felt black dot on its back, and I don't know if it was always the same rat with the dot on its back or not, but it was just kind of cracking me up that that's what they used. It's like they put a poker chip on the on the rat's back. But it took them quite a while to... It took the one rat a while to solve the problem the first time. But after they were put in that predicament, they were getting the other rat out within seconds.
So that's nice, right?
Like, yeah, that's quite an improvement in a couple of days. But going from, like, taking a day to open it to under a minute.
Right. I mean, I guess they would probably at first almost have to accidentally find the way to open it, right?
Yeah.
And once they kind of realize what happened when it opened, then they can, like, recreate that. I guess. I would guess, like, if I was a rat. That might be how I would think about it. But, that's nice to start with, right? I mean, rat is trying to help out its fellow rat, right?
Yeah. Pretty cool story by itself.
But then they took it a little further and, had a rat trapped. Now, maybe you can help me with this one, Kevin. Because I didn't watch the video. But the way they described the experiment, they said the rat was in a separate room or chamber from the rat that was trapped, right?
Right.
But the rat was still able to somehow open the tube to free the other rat.
That is correct. Now, that is a bit of a problem. The video that I saw only did the first experiment with them in the same room together.
Okay.
So there was not any video attached to this. I will not say there isn't any video evidence. I'm sure they recorded it.
Well, they may have, but we are not prepared to either confirm or deny whether such video evidence exists. But per usual, we have done impeccable research to...
well, NPR was just slacking off and did not supply us with the extra video. Those lazy bastards.
Don't get me started. Thanks, Obama.
Yep. Thanks, Obama.
So we got rats that were helping each other out. But then when they separated the rats and then also had some chocolate in another tube, right?
Correct.
They found that the rat just didn't, you know, do the rat thing, if you will. Open the chocolate tube and just like chow down on all the chocolate by itself. Because I guess rats like chocolate. Why not? Everybody likes chocolate.
Yeah. Really?
They found that the rats would open both tubes and share the chocolate with their fellow rat. Now, would, you know, people, I think, would probably react similarly in a situation like that. Like if you were trapped in a tube with, and I could, you know, eat all this chocolate by myself, I would probably open it up and let you come out and, you know, you could have some chocolate too. That would be all right.
Yeah. And, that was the interesting thing that they, and I guess that's why I pointed out that they were, rats knew each other because, some people wanted to, do the experiment with, rats that didn't know each other.
Mm. And I believe they found the same results, right?
Yeah. And they did find the same results, which was, even more interesting. Honestly.
And I love this term the scientist came up with here. It's emotional contagion is what they use to explain it.
Because the rat was sent out a distress signal, or basically
was kind of maybe crying or something along those lines,
right?
For whatever a rat would do. So the other one would, they say, basically start to be uncomfortable because of the other rat's distress. So they would try to free them.
Right.
So that's what they call emotional contagion. You could also call it empathy, I think. That's a another way of putting it.
Considering that they were talking about the rats being altruistic, I was a little surprised that they...
emotional contagion, that sounds like something, some kind of disease, you know? I don't know. It's, you know, a good thing. Come on. So they were able to, find out that these rats were not so rat-like as you would think, I guess, Kevin.
Just because I knew about their intelligence, I was not really shocked by this this study in any way. Just because they're, they're smart, and I guess I'm not too surprised that they have a little bit of empathy. I don't know why people... pretend like animals don't have that for their fellow animal.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, people will kind of use that as a, that's the natural law. Like, people, you know, we have to be out there and compete against each other and, survival of the fittest.
Oh.
You know, in a capitalist society.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, then it's like, well, look, you're being very selective in what you're considering the natural law if you're only looking at competition as the way to do things, because there's clearly other examples of the natural world working in cooperation. So
I don't know if rats are normally solitary creatures or not. I'm not sure because bees would be something that...
taking it to another level there. Even.
Right, yeah. There's a collective happening there.
Hive mentality.
But even things... I mean, I always... I haven't watched as much animal programming as I used to, but on Discovery Channel, I always liked watching stuff... I'm trying to think of what the... hyenas. Like, just them... They hunt in packs all the time.
Yeah.
They're pretty crazy just to watch that kind of go down. Especially just with the way they're built and the way they have to confront certain creatures. Just because they know that it's the pack that's going to win, not the individual. Like, there isn't... even though there are leaders, they also know that they need to be part of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there are definitely a lot of creature habits that are cooperative and not adversarial. Although, yes. Obviously, they're hunting prey when they're being...
Yes.
When yeah. they're being cooperative, too. But they also kind of hand down the food in that way, too, where it's kind of a bit of a pecking order.
Right. And, you know, they're not hunting each other, I think, is a good way to remember that as well.
Right.
So, I don't know. It just pushing back against an argument that no one in particular has made here. But...
Yeah, well, they are going to be hunting some dinosaurs on the big screen this year.
Whoa, all right. I'm going to bow down to you on that one. you get the points for segue of the week this week.
Because, you know, Jurassic Park's getting a little bit of a reboot.
Jurassic World, I think.
Jurassic World, yeah.
I know that... Lauren Lapkus has a part in it, so I was kind of excited about that.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a huge part, but...
Okay, yeah, and I thought, I wanted to make sure that was Chris Pratt, who's the main star. Which
Chris Pratt, he's in everything.
I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I can't mention how much I love that Guardians of the Galaxy.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
But have you seen the recent season of Community that was on Yahoo?
No, I have not watched any of that yet.
Oh wow,
she is 7th down on the list. I'm gonna guess she's getting some pretty decent screen time.
Oh, maybe so, yeah. Probably has some lines.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and I didn't know Vincent D'Onofrio was in it either, so that has me excited, too.
Yeah, he's number two on the list.
Right.
Right after Chris Pratt. Yeah, because Jill McHale's character, Jeff Winger, on Community, kind of had a... tirade about Chris Pratt and how he has such great abs now, and like it doesn't make sense. Like he doesn't understand how he did it. So I thought that was pretty. Everybody else is just talking about how he's, you know, great and everything.
Well, he was great in one thing that I saw him in. Well, so I don't know what else he has done, to be completely honest with you. So I'm not going to say that everything he does is great, but
I liked him in Parks and Recreation. I mean, trying to think of what else he's been in since, but I think people knew him from that first.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I did not realize he was in Parks and Recs. Wow. Okay, so he was there the whole time.
Yeah. They had him as like. A boyfriend, like a loser boyfriend character in the first season, and they were basically gonna write him off the show, but he was just like so good that they had to like keep him on, because really his character was like so terrible to start with. It's interesting, but yeah, they apparently saw something in him to keep him around.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I was not that familiar, so okay. I'm sure that is a complete joke, since they would have, I would guess, have been very familiar with each other on NBC together.
Oh, right.
And they were on back-to-back shows.
That's true. Yeah, they certainly had the same, Yeah, they were in the same universe there.
Yeah, I would say they might have gone to one or two parties together to at least be vaguely familiar.
Yes, that's a good point.
So, okay, that's that. Plus, Joel McHale's just damn funny. So I'm sure that it comes off well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they lost a few characters, but it's still funny. And I like the guy, one of the new characters that they have there is like an older guy. And I forget the actor's name, but I know I've seen him in other things. And he has a very distinctive voice. But
oh my gosh, I had no idea that he was in the OC.
Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Was he like a
Che
regular character?
It just looks like he was on for a season.
Yeah. Huh. Did not know that.
Yeah, I definitely saw him then very early on in his career, and was in no way familiar that was him until this moment.
Pretty interesting. So he would have been like another one season character, I guess, on Parks and Rec. But
That's pretty around. Yeah. And I can see that, like that Guardians of the Galaxy, he was really funny in it. Like it was. Yeah, like a lot of the action movies, they definitely add the funny to it now. There's definitely got to be some comedy elements to it.
Yeah.
And, he really pulls those off extremely well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, you remember, like, Rambo? Like, that was pretty, there wasn't a lot of comedy moments in that movie, I don't think.
Oh, are you kidding? That whole thing was a comedy.
Really?
The new one?
Oh no, the original one is what I was talking about.
Oh well, okay. I was going to, and you're going to make me say it now. It is definitely more of a new thing than an old school during our childhood.
Yeah. Well, right.
Thing.
I guess I was going to say, like, when was the last movie that came out that was like just like serious action? Without having comedy, because I feel like that's been forever. Like if you look back at like Commando, like that's our famous lost episode, which we recorded, but we're not able to release due to technical difficulties.
Yes.
But we found that to be hilarious, and I have to think that they were intending that some of that to be funny because there was some like really over the top stuff.
Oh man, I guess I didn't think like anything involving Arnold Schwarzenegger. I never thought is funny, although I mean he did definitely have some zingers in Predator.
Yeah,
I ain't got time to bleed. I mean, not just him, but just in the movie in general.
Yeah,
they definitely tried to up the chuckle quotient before it got. I mean, it did get serious at the end there, but
right when he was the only survivor facing a predator, mano y mano,
mano y alien.
Because that predator is pretty big, right? I mean,
yeah,
wasn't he like 7 feet tall or something?
It towered over Arnie.
Yeah,
so I would probably go more 8 foot.
Well, yeah, Arnold's. Well, I don't know how tall he is though.
He's in the low 6 foots, maybe 6'2" or something of the sort.
Yeah. Well,
oh, man, she comes and goes without an appearance.
Oh, yes, the lady just had a walkthrough. Well, it's, I don't know how we got on the Predator there. Oh, we're talking
action
about
movies.
Action movies with comedy, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I guess there were some funny parts, but Predator is pretty dark. Yeah. I mean, but, like, Die Hard definitely had comedy moments. And that was probably the most successful action movie.
So everyone's copying off of Die Hard, is what you're saying.
They're trying to hit that Die Hard sweet spot, yeah. The mix of action and comedy.
Yeah, it really could go back to that. And oh man, we could go back to. And I'm trying to think of what the original topic was.
The rats sharing chocolate.
Yeah, the rats sharing chocolate. Somehow we way went off-roading on that one.
Things got a little bumpy, you know what I'm saying?
I
there was
mean,
no trail.
No, not even a little bit. We made a Ralph at Albuquerque and just kept on going. And speaking of making a Ralph at Albuquerque,
sure.
If Albuquerque built a new larger road for Bugs Bunny to use,
you think there'd be other Bugs Bunnies that would come out and use that same road? Or bunnies of some kind?
Yes, I do believe there would be more. I believe jackrabbits are a little more common down there.
Jackalopes?
And jackalopes, maybe. I wonder if they'd have to share a lane. You know, just have a dedicated jackalope lane.
Yeah, maybe they could just have... Yeah, I think they would need to have some kind of jackalope lane, because those are going to take up a little extra space with their big antlers, right? I mean, they need extra clearance.
Well,
there's a number of considerations.
I guess there are a number of considerations. Maybe they need to have a little bit of a lane in between them and the rabbit lanes.
Sure. Like a bike lane of sorts?
Yeah, a bike lane of sorts.
I don't know. I've never seen any rabbit riding a bike, so that's they should have that open. So they can just turn that over to jackalopes. They'd be fine. But what are we talking about?
Well, yes, I was using the old Bugs Bunny reference to talk about a little traffic news that I read about this week.
Yeah, this was interesting to me, and I did read it with a, I don't know, grain of salt, I guess you'd say. Like a, I took it with a grain of salt to start with, but then the argument ended up actually making sense to me in the end. So basically what they're saying is, after studying, now this is a different situation because they weren't actually able to conduct an experiment on people like right. They were with the rats in our previous previous example. But
right.
They were just able to pull this information from public records of traffic versus
road size
or the I'm just gonna say it, the road load.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, why didn't you just go with that already? I don't know. You're stuttering, I mean, that's the way to
go with it. Yeah,
yeah,
it rhymes. But so this is the amount of traffic that a road can handle,
right? And not the amount of traffic load that the road gets.
Yes. So they looked at some information and came to the conclusion that traffic will always end up filling whatever space you create for it. Like, if you add an extra lane on a highway, people are going to come to fill up that extra lane. Like, it's going to end up with the same, you know, traffic situation, you know, problems than you would have had if you had not built that extra lane.
Did
I make any sense at all when I said that?
Yeah, complete sense.
All right, excellent.
Yeah, because everyone, they said it's a little bit of groupthink that goes into it, that it's just like, oh, X road is bigger, so it's going to be quicker.
Well, yeah. And I guess
it is generally what people end up thinking, so because everyone ends up thinking that, the road becomes more crowded than it was, or as crowded as it was previously.
Right. Because once it gets to a certain point, I guess they're saying that people are going to be like, forget it. I'm not going to go out in this craziness. You know, this traffic is going to be too much. It's not worth it for me to go somewhere. But, I mean, that might make sense for going to the store, but I guess I was thinking, that doesn't make sense for going to work. Like, you're going to have to, you can't make a choice not to go to work, right?
Well, the article certainly did posit some interesting things. And one of them was, and I had forgotten, honestly, that London had imposed a tax on when people use their cars in the downtown area.
A congestion toll?
Yeah, congestion toll. Mm-hmm. Because, and I guess that was the other part that was fascinating to me too, was just, And I hadn't really thought about it. The gas tax hasn't gone up at all. And that's why we have less money for highway repairs now, because cars are more efficient. So
people are using less gas.
People are using less gas.
And the taxes have not increased. So there's a kind of a double whammy of sorts there.
Right. So, and that's the other reason why people were talking about considering these congestion taxes already, because it's a better way to apply the taxes, or at least one that would get you back to the level to be able to. Because it's still crazy the amount of infrastructure in the United States. Like, for as much road construction as I see, knowing that there are so many bridges and whatnot that still need repairing around the country in general,
yeah,
is just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is repair work, but, I mean, it's just, it does... around this area especially, there's like I guess everywhere really, there's like a huge amount of construction with roads in particular. And I guess people don't think about it as being, you know, what am I trying to say here? Like, people, like, if the government came forward and said they were going to spend this money on a passenger train or something, like, people would be up in arms about it.
Oh, right.
But road spending is just people don't seem to have a problem with for whatever reason.
For the most part, no. And, I guess that's one thing with the congestion tax. I do, that was one thing that when the lady moved in that I have tried to cut down on, or not tried to cut down on, I have cut down on because of things like this congestion. I almost always used the main highways in town. Mm-hmm. But she likes to use some of the smaller roads to get around. And there are times where it's worth stopping at a light or two or three, as opposed to dealing with some of the traffic and some of the nonsense that comes with the higher congestion areas.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
So I can certainly relate to wanting to use, and that's what the congestion tax essentially did in London. And Singapore, I believe, was the other country.
Yes.
Yeah. Or city.
Yeah.
To do this.
Now, there's detractors for this idea, to be sure, because it, you know, for rich people, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But say there's somebody who is just getting by and, like, they need to, like, you know, I said, go to work, they're going to end up paying this tax that's going to have a bigger impact on them. And it's like, doesn't seem fair that it hurts poor people more than rich people, I guess. And as a percentage of their income, it would be a lot more for the poor person than the rich person, if you were to consider it that way.
Right.
It does make sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense from...
Well, and then that's the other thing, is that I guess when I look at a route when I'm traveling a long distance, I do consider whether I have to go onto a toll road or not.
Yeah. I mean, my family hates toll roads with a passion, I feel like. Like, anytime I talk to them about a trip, they're like, oh, well, you know, you can go this way to get around the toll road. So... yeah, I know. I'm familiar with that. That the idea there.
Yeah, I do certainly try to avoid them myself, but there are just times where it doesn't make sense to avoid them.
Yes.
One of them actually is, in fact, the trip from Columbus back to the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Throwing it out to our OPA roots. Yes.
Yep.
What is that route? 66. Yeah.
Yep.
Toll road connector, basically right there at Pittsburgh.
Yep. Go a little south-north and then back to the east-west action.
So that's welcome back to Route Talk, your weekly conversation about roads and where they connect to.
Well, and certainly those roads have been expanded in recent years.
That is definitely
after
true.
After many, many years under construction. Mm. They've actually finished them, and I do not feel like they're any less crowded than they were previously.
Good point.
I guess because we used to travel them a lot as kids going back and forth from Pittsburgh to Altoona. And it was one lane then, and it was busy then, and it's two lanes now, and it's busy now.
Well, the thing that the I guess, simile, metaphor that the article uses is if you had somebody who was giving away free hamburgers, people would eat more hamburgers. and the idea is that basically the government is handing out free highway, so people are going to drive more, which didn't at first make sense to me, but then some of the things sort of made sense. Like, you might want to live farther away from town, from your job, if you could have a bigger house, say, and it wasn't like that far to, you know, you had to drive farther, but if the road was improved to the point where you could get there quickly, it wouldn't be that as big a deal, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember some people that you had worked with. Where was it? Oh, they lived up in Mansfield when you right. worked out east there.
Yes.
Yes. And I know some people that came in like 45 minutes away in Waverly, Ohio. It's southwest, southeast of Columbus here.
Yeah.
There,
I know somebody that lived in Mount Gilead, which is like over an hour away, which that would be just crazy for me.
Yeah, I don't, I guess I don't get that. I try to make my trip as short as possible.
Yeah, you've got the right idea, as far as I can tell. The less time you spend driving, commuting, the happier you're going to be, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely something that this article did not touch on.
No.
Was there you can get a happy medium, live close to where you work.
Yeah.
Because, and that, I guess that is the funny thing, as close as I am to my office, I can use a lot of back roads to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to avoid a lot of traffic regardless, because of you're smart enough to live close to where you work. Some of us worked at one place and then ended up going somewhere else, and it's a little farther away, and, you know, some of us are dealing with it, but, you know, it's not ideal.
Yeah, there are certainly circumstances that that I did not involve myself in that have aided in my trip shortening.
Yes. So it's, you know...
But I think when you're talking about the stuff that we were just right before that, though, like the 45 minutes away, like purposely living in a town way far away, that to me is different than a situation that you're in. Like, you're willfully adding large amounts of time to your commute.
I just wonder, I guess that must, I mean, it must have happened, right? I mean, I think people did move out to the suburbs when the highways came in originally, right, in the 50s. But,
yeah, I mean, there are suburbs, so.
Yes. so, I mean, there's probably some truth to that, but I don't know. I guess if they had trains or something instead, like, I keep talking about trains, but, like, if you had spent that money on something else, like, would that have led to the same kind of, because they do say that, like, okay, yeah, it turns out that this does kind of generate more economic activity because there's more people coming in. Yeah.
It's basically what it came down to. Yeah. There's more business there, so there are more people there, so there are more roads there.
So there's more business there, so there's more people there. Yeah. So, I mean, in a way, it's kind of like, well, okay, I guess it's working then, you know?
Well, and I do feel like, and it doesn't really have much to do with roads, but it seems like if you build new, because I can't believe how many new apartments are coming around just in town here.
Yeah.
And it just seems like every time, I don't know if they're completely full, but I go, well, where did these people leave? Like, they had to have left somewhere to live at these new places.
Perhaps they lived out in the
hinterlands,
the provinces of Ohio.
Yeah, I don't know if these are former people that have lived 45 minutes away that finally want to live closer to their work, or what the situation is. We'll have to keep an eye on it, Ken.
Yeah, I think we should do...
That's what the people, the fans of OPA demand.
Exactly, and that's what they should demand. We're going to start a canvassing operation. We're going to hit all these new apartment buildings, ask everyone that lives in there top to bottom what it is that they're doing here, why they moved here, and we'll make sure. We'll ask the tough questions, you know?
Yeah, we will get some answers, grandkids.
Don't worry. We're on it.
And we know that you always demand the Sippy Time Beer of the Week. And this week, we are actually waiting till the end of the program to talk about it. Columbus Brewing Company, one of my favorites. It's called Summer Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a nice light lager with a little bit of lemon in it.
Yeah, it is not an intense lemon or anything. It's not like a summer shandy experience.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I like. I am not much of a summer
that's
shandy
tough to say, huh?
guy.
Yeah, the shummer sandy is pretty intense fruit wise there. And it is kind of refreshing, but you know, it's half lemonade basically. This is not not so, but a strong choice for a summer beer, which we've been having some summer beer weather here, I'd say, lately.
Yes, we are. So I thought it was good to buy. And yeah, this will soon be converted into what now will be the Black Belt IPA.
Oh, yes. You hear that, bottle? You will be assimilated.
Yeah.
Resistance is futile.
It is. I can keep the world-inspired Ohio brewed.
Yeah, that's true.
On my label, I'll cut everything else out.
Now, do you like, this is a beer talk. Well, this is our Sippy Time beer segment, so that's
fine. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have to like sterilize these or something?
Yes, they will be they will be washed out right now, and then they will be sterilized in the old dishwasher.
So, okay, but that might hurt the sticker here, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
The labels, it depends. Great Lakes, their bottles, I don't know who puts their wrap on, but they do a piss-poor job. Mm. These, I feel like, are a little tighter to the bottle. This might not come off so easy. There are some that are attached real nice-like.
Yeah,
and even when you run it a cycle through the dishwasher, they stay attached. And I'm taking bets that it stays attached.
Well, bad news, Kevin. I just saw on the bottom of the bottle it says no refill, so I'm afraid your plans have been dashed, my friend.
Bummer.
Sorry to go out on a sour note, but you know, it can't all be glory here. Sometimes we gotta face up to a few setbacks.
Well, hopefully this episode has not been a setback. And,
no, not in the slightest.
Yep, so for at Gozer33 and at Stunt Granny, I'm at DeFrango11. Have a good evening.
Bye.